You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hey, this is Curtis Armstrong, and you're listening to Weeby Geeks.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries power.
Mission commencing.
My name is Optimus Prime.
All wings, check in.
Red 3, standing by.
Red 6, standing by.
Red 5, standing by.
Red Button, standing by.
Red Fox, standing by.
Big Red, standing by.
Red October, standing by.
Helen Reddy, standing by.
Simply Red, standing by.
Great Scott!
So, the bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
Meanwhile, back at the above-ground, underwater, suborbital volcano lair.
It is another episode of your official voice of the Geek Revolution, Weeby Geeks, episode 63. Oh, man, talking about something being stuck in the throat. I am your choking host. No, I wish it was a force choke by Vader, but it's not. Mike, and as always, it's Marty on the other side. How you doing tonight?
Good evening. That's not Vader that's choking me. It's me, man. I've been choking. Been trying to do a mind trick on you for so long, and it finally works. And all I get is a weak little choke. Like, it barely made you cough. I guess I need to go back to my Sith training here, because I'm obviously failing.
It's funny that you mentioned Sith training.
Star Wars! Nothing but Star Wars!
Breaking news today, as we record on Wednesdays. So, breaking news on Wednesday, March 12th, from Variety magazine, actually. Top five candidates for the Jedi apprentice role in Star Wars Episode 7.
Good luck.
Yeah.
The names being tossed around. I'm going to start off with the three that seem to be the top choices. Ed Spielers from Downton Abbey. John Boyega from Attack the Block. I'm not familiar with that show.
That was I'm pretty sure that was a movie. Okay. I'm pretty sure that was like a bad movie that came out, you know, like in a January sort of deal. Like, I want to say it had involved something to do with a prison riot, and I'm trying to remember who the lead was on that one.
As
Ethan Hawke, maybe?
As Jeff Dunham and Peanut go.
Yeah. It came and went really, really quickly, and that's about, I'm not even sure if I'm remembering the right movie, to be honest with you.
And then the number three mentioned name is Jesse Plemons from Friday Night Lights TV series, most recently Breaking Bad. And then they also list theatrical actors, Matthew James Thomas, and Ray Fisher. So
all these people are fighting for one role, right? The apprentice.
Well, I don't know if they're fighting for it. Their names are brought up and still being tossed around. It seemed to be top of the radar, even though they say they're still searching. They're not done potentially casting or looking for someone else.
And this is for a Sith apprentice, or is it for a
Jedi apprentice?
Okay, so possibly it didn't say for who.
Nope.
Could be Luke Skywalker's Jedi apprentice.
Right now, as far as we know, it'd be the only Jedi apprentice.
Right.
Would be to Luke. I mean, we know there's the potential for Ahsoka Tano to still be alive. We don't, because obviously she survived Order 66, because she's not a Jedi at this point. She quit at the end of Season 5 of the Clone Wars. But who knows, that maybe hearing about Luke possibly brought her back in as a sign of hope.
Yeah, or maybe, yeah, I mean, of course, they haven't really announced full details, but maybe they're going to take it even one generation further, and that the new trilogy is going to be, you know, I think we speculated on the kids, and so Luke is, like, training his kids and Leia and Han's kids to be, like, more Jedi, and a few more Jedi, so maybe it's going to be, like, an apprentice through that. I think the most sense would probably be an apprentice of Luke Skywalker.
True.
Just have that connection.
Well, chances are, too, you know, it's been stated in past interviews, you know, even mentioned by Hamill himself, that, you know, the future films, Luke was supposed to be the new Yoda, so to speak. So he brings back the Jedi Order, thus, of course, anyone underneath, there's no master but Luke at this point in time, so everyone would be an apprentice.
That's true. Yeah, he's gonna be at the top of the pyramid scheme. And that's what the Jedi's are, as a pyramid scheme.
Yep. And of course, you know, we can't mention Star Wars without mentioning that last week, this past Friday, Netflix finally released Star Wars, the bonus missions, those 13 episodes that were written, almost completed, and never got a chance to air. Those are now available on Netflix.
And I think I see with the sleepiness in your eyes that you have stayed up and watched all 13 already. Would that be true?
I have only seen the first four.
Oh, okay.
Which involves a little more explanation behind Order 66. But still, so now it's like, okay, it makes sense where it's coming from. So
the episodes were like fully and completely done, right? There's
correct.
No like, you're not like watching Animantics on them.
No,
on a couple,
no,
okay.
No, they're fully done.
That's so cool. And so far, four episodes in, what's your opinion on it?
I'm liking it. Katie,
how many episodes are there?
13.
13. Okay.
And the first four, the Order 66 arc was written by Kate Lucas.
Cool.
Yeah, which is George's daughter. So yeah, I think she really grasped, what it is.
You could say she was born into it.
Yeah.
Is this her first time writing for the show?
No, she's written episodes in the past.
I'll be honest with you, I've only seen like three episodes of the show. So I really have, you know, little expertise on it. So I'm trying to glean it from you as to what's going on. I saw the movie, the first like theatrical movie that started it all, and didn't really like it.
Which so, shouldn't have been a movie.
No, it was not good. And
that was a last minute decision to go, oh, let's put it on the big screen.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of turned me off. And then when everybody's like saying, oh, this is a good show, I failed to believe them for quite a few years until, you know, like a couple years ago, everybody kept saying it. I was like, fine, I'll start watching it. And that's when they started to cancel it too. So late to the game.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, you watch Revenge of the Sith and it's like, okay, Order 66, that comes out of nowhere. They give a little bit more explanation behind why it was just so easy for the clones to turn on with Order 66 given. So, but yeah, it's Star Wars news still a little slow, but I think we're okay. It's gonna ramp here shortly.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, it kind of just dawned on me the other day. It's like, oh, wow, actually new Star Wars will be in theaters almost this time, you know, in a year. Like a year we're going to be
actually
inundated with it.
December of 2015.
Is it December? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was going to be May for some reason.
No. It used to be May releases. Okay. They're moving it to December. So it seems like Marvel's going to have the summer you know, April, May, June releases, maybe July. And then Star Wars will have, it looks like, the holiday. Which
could have the whole thing.
Which, who knows? Maybe that's going to draw even more numbers at the holidays than during the summer.
Well, I
there's
mean.
Not a, there's not as many summer blockbusters to compete with.
Yeah. I mean, usually you have that one blockbuster during the Christmas holiday time. And last 2 years plus this year will be The Hobbit. The Hobbit will wrap up this year, and then we'll go straight into...
Right, and Lord of the Rings had that run years ago. But now that, DC's trying to get stuff out, Sony and Fox and Marvel's putting stuff out, in the whole phases with Marvel and the whole game plans with Fox, with Fantastic Four and X-Men and that crossover and everything else. While I'm a traditionalist with Star Wars, and I honestly felt, Star Wars was getting a bad deal.
This deal is getting worse all the time.
After further thought, it's like, keep Star Wars out of the blockbusters. Give it the holidays. It doesn't have to compete nearly as hard with everything else now. And it's going to find its new niche at holiday time. And I think it's going to carry strong.
It does feel like Star Wars is kind of synonymous with a May release, because I think pretty much every single other one of the Star Wars movies came out in May. And I mean, we even created our own holiday with May 4th, when the 4th be with
right.
you, or 4th be with you kind of deal. Right. So it will, I think it will kind of feel weird when we get to next summer and it's like, oh yeah, we got Star Wars still to come, but of course we'll have a bunch of other movies to hold us over till then. So maybe we just won't. Think about it. Miss it.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it with this, like I said, with the Star Wars news.
Thank you very much.
So DC, a bunch of DC news between television and gaming.
I didn't see. Was DC present at South by Southwest this year? I know Marvel has made it like a mission to be at South by Southwest and have some big stuff. So, and that wrapped up, and they had some pretty cool announcements there. But I'm almost wondering if DC's like going to start jumping into it too, because just because Marvel's going to kind of get some partisanship going.
To be honest with you, I think Marvel is actually dropping the ball. it's been the MO for DC for a while now.
Yeah.
The new 52.
South by Southwest like their a destination for them to drop some hints at.
It seems like DC, their big thing, or their big deal of the year is Toy Fair, which was still kind of weak for them. It was a strong outing for Warner Brothers consumer products. But you still really, except for us and maybe a few others, you really didn't hear much about the Warner Brothers offerings.
Yeah.
So it almost seems like they're kind of holding back for either C2E2 or holding back for San Diego. And San Diego's almost too late.
Yeah, I was gonna say, more likely it's something for San Diego, because I was at C2E2 last year, and DC had zilch for us new. Like the information that they were giving us was just like, oh, I could have read this online. Thanks for letting me go to your panel. And I'm a DC fan. Been a DC fanboy for a long time. And
same here.
I looked at my buddy who went with me, and I'm just like, the look in DC's face last year at the panels, because they were getting barraged with the same questions. And it was like, why did you cancel Young Justice? Why did you cancel Green Lantern? What, and There was a couple other things that were happening about that time that were to do with books. And you could just tell the look in their eyes, they were tired of answering these questions.
Right.
But it was also like, if you're tired of answering these questions, then why'd you do it? You know, why? You're paying your penance for doing something stupid like canceling a great show like Young Justice for no reason.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Young Justice. And rumor had it Young Justice was coming back this September.
Yeah, I didn't have much faith in that until I actually saw it.
Guess what?
Is it happening?
Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
They released their 2014-2015 list of shows.
Yeah, and come on.
Oh!
I hate you. Beware, I will shoot the messenger, and that messenger is you, sir.
With still no official cancellation, beware the Batman. Yeah. No show.
Well, that was a show that surprisingly have we talked about Beware the Batman on here? I can't remember. I remember having a pretty good discussion.
I know it's
discussion.
Been talked about quite a few times, but I mean, I don't know if we have truly.
Beware the Batman to me was the animated show where it seemed like, you know, a Batman on TV cannot fail. That is probably the theory that Warner Brothers probably went into it. It's Batman. Everybody's going to watch it just because it's Batman. What they failed to realize, you know, was that one of the things that people are drawn to Batman to is his rogues gallery. His rogues gallery is by far the greatest rogues gallery of any character out there.
You know. I would say definitely surpasses Spider-Man's rogues gallery.
Yeah, yeah. And Spider-Man's got a great rogues gallery, but some of them also kind of get to the realm of gimmicky because they're just playing off of other animals at times. Right. You know, it's like, oh, you got a Scorpion and a Doc Ock. You know, it's just, you know. So I'm not that bashing them too bad, but
who are you? Like having Guinea Pig Man.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as far as having some great original villains that are just, you know, that are really come to life, Batman has the greatest rogues gallery. Right. So that right there makes Batman the coolest.
And what
take
did they
take out the known rogues? And you bring in like the newbies or the people that nobody heard of, and nobody cared.
They went total D-list.
Yeah, it was like, I don't even care about these people. I read the comic.
Who cares about Pig and Frog?
Yeah,
I know they're okay. There may be C-list. Who cares about Anarchy? I hated them in the book. Magpie. Only one I truly enjoyed on the show. It was a great character.
I didn't see his episode. That's how far I made it in. But, like, you know, on top, you add to that the fact that people are still ticked off that you canceled two great shows to get this show. So it's just kind of like hatred by association.
Yep.
And then on top of that, there were just some things in the show that didn't make sense to me. Like, how quickly Bruce Wayne could change into Batman and get in on the scene. It was a little, I mean, you can say that about any time Batman shows up, but there would be times like,
but this
Bruce Wayne
one really
would look up a building, something would happen, like somebody would fall off the building, and then the next thing you know, Batman, he would change into the Batman gear halfway up the other building to jump and catch the guy. I'm like, that's not, time and space does not allow for this, even close.
Yeah. To me, it seems like the focus is more on the live action, you know, with Arrow, which is coming back for a third season, Flash, which is coming up, and Constantine. But the new original and acquired programming coming to Cartoon Network, Over the Garden Wall, which is headlined by Elijah Wood and Melanie Lynskey. It's Cartoon Network's first event miniseries about two brothers who are trapped in a mysterious world. This is a 10-part miniseries. Wow. Let's take that from Heroes Reborn, shall we? So, yeah. Wirt and Greg must travel across Stream's Land until they find their way home, aided by a wise old woodsman. Yeah. Doesn't have my interest.
It kind of, you know, the thought that came to my mind was it kind of sounds sort of like, remember the old Dungeons & Dragons cartoon? Where it's a bunch of kids that got teleported into the world of Dungeons & Dragons. And it became like, that's what, that, in some ways, that the synopsis for it kind of makes me think of that for some reason. Or more recently, it was that the Cartoon Network show Level Up, where it's like the video game is coming out. And so, you know, it's kind of something like in the same vein of that, maybe.
Second new show, Clarence, from creator Skylar Page, and it premieres April 14th. It's a series about an optimistic boy who wants to do everything because everything is amazing. It's okay. Again. Wow.
do they have any more superheroes in the lineup? Will there be a DC Nation, I guess is what I should be saying.
Yeah, it's an hour of Teen Titans Go.
That's all they're going to have.
Pretty much.
I can see that Teen Titans Go did get renewed, so that's at least a good thing.
Yeah. I'm not going to read the descriptions on the rest of these. One, my printer didn't print this out right, so. But we bear bears.
Bears in B-A-R-E.
B-A-R-E. B-E-A-R-S. We bear bears. Each episode follows their awkward attempts at assimilating into human society. Whether they're looking for food, trying to make human friends, or scheming to become internet famous. The Tom and Jerry Show. So that's coming back.
I was thinking they relaunched it just a handful of years ago already. But
well, this one's going to relaunch April 9th in a 5:30 p.m. time slot.
Did you ever watch any of the newer Tom and Jerry stuff?
No. I never a Tom and Jerry fan.
Yeah, because the premise is always the same. It's like, you know, Tom chases Jerry. Jerry gives him some sort of slip or something to hit him in the head, and you know, it's the same thing. Or he gets the dog to come and beat up Tom. You know, it is kind of the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
But you know, the weird thing was like watching the newer ones. I don't know if maybe it's because the animation's so much better than the older ones now, or what it is. But it really just seems weird to watch. Watch basically the same premise done modern times. Like it's okay with the older stuff because that was new then, but to do basically new stuff, old premise.
Even when they redid it in the 80s and it had the newer look, it still didn't feel right.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm like. I can't really place my thumb onto what it is that makes it not feel right. It just doesn't feel the same. Maybe it's just nostalgia.
It's got too modern of a look and feel to it.
I guess. But
too vibrant.
It could be the same story concept. It could be the exact same story, but it just,
It's just too vibrant.
Yeah. I think part of it also might be just because the storytelling has gotten so much more sophisticated for kids programming now that to do that now feels kind of dumbing down. Maybe that's what it is.
Right. Be Cool Scooby-Doo.
Scooby!
It's yet another Scooby-Doo series. Which,
you can't kill the dog. You can't kill it.
No. Wabbit. A Looney Tunes production.
Hey!
So Bugs Bunny is back. See, again, that's almost one of the same thing as Tom and Jerry.
It is, but what was it? They had one a few years ago. That was, I can't remember the name of the show, but it was actually set up to where the Loonies were all living sort of in the same city. And they kind of interacted almost like a TV sitcom in some ways. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, that one worked.
It took me a while to get used to it because they weren't doing the whole, you know, set up slapstick kind of stuff. They were actually trying to do like a regular show.
Right.
But it was, you know, it at least felt like a fresh take on it.
Let's see here. Lego Ninjago Masters of Spin Jitsu. So continuing its partnership with Lego Group, it will reintroduce its viewers to the world of Ninjago.
I think they've already got a show. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Of some sorts.
This is going to be 6 half-hour animated specials.
Yeah, so I don't know the Ninjago that way. I know there is a Ninjago. I don't know if it's titled the same, but.
I think this is going to pick up where that left off.
Probably.
Or do something new. I don't know. Sonic Boom, which is going to be based around Sonic the Hedgehog.
Ooh, Sonic making a comeback.
Total Drama, Paquetu Island. It's animation's Survivor.
Yeah.
Meets Wipeout.
That's a big one.
Nunchucks. Woodchuck Brothers, Dillweed, and Fungus didn't always see themselves.
You can't say Dillweed on a cartoon, can you?
That's what the name is, Dillweed.
Not the way I usually use the word Dillweed, but you can't.
And then Bay Raiders.
Is that off of Beyblades?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Original always on programming for Cartoon Network, multiple digital platforms.
Online.
Angelo Rules, Season 2. Detention Air. And Rocket Joe. Okay, whatever.
There you go.
Returning series. Adventure Time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not into it.
Oh, I love that show, man. That show cracks me up. All it takes is a fart joke, though, really. That's all it really... I mean, it doesn't even have to be a joke. It can just be a random fart sound, and I will bust out laughing, but that's also because I have the maturity of a 12-year-old, so...
Are you mental?
Yes. For fart jokes, yes. My wife does not get it at all. She's like, you're in your 30s. Why do you still think farts are funny? It's like, they just are. They just are.
It's a man thing.
It's yeah.
When I got my 6.1 surround, and I wanted to, okay, being the audio engineer I am, it's like, okay, the system's got to be fine-tuned just right. Just right. First thing I did, since I don't have Apollo 13, shame on me. I still need to get it. Again, shame on me. Because the launch of the rocket, perfect for a surround sound. Days of Thunder, again, perfect for a surround sound. Don't have it either. But the pod race from episode 1. Okay, yeah. Good. It sounds great. Then I went with the Ultimate. Since I have the Anniversary Remastered 5.1 version, Beanfest. From Blazing Saddles. To hear that start off with the belches and then go to the...
All the different points around you.
I was laughing so hard. My only dog at the time is looking at me like, what's going on and how come I'm not smelling anything? It was great. It was great.
Farts are funny. The only thing that farts are less funny than is seeing someone else get hit in the nuts. Yes. Those are the two greatest things that I need to make myself laugh in a day. And if somebody gets punched in the nuts and farts afterwards, I will probably cry to death. That's probably the only stage left.
Other returning series, Legends of Shimera. Of Shima. Sorry. It's a Lego series show. It's
Chimera or something like that.
Okay, Chimera.
I watched as much Cartoon Network, apparently.
Teen Titans Go.
Cool.
The Amazing World of Gumball.
Oh, I love that show, too. It's a good one.
Mixels.
That one's a new one, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was, too. I don't see where it's a
maybe returning it's, series. Maybe it's coming out now, and it'll be renewed in the fall or something along those lines.
But I mentioned already a couple on the list that were coming, that were new, that were debuting next month. Mixels seemed kind of cool. I mean, they had that as a preview before, before the previews, the previews before the previews, at my theater when we went to go see Lego, the Lego movie.
Yeah, okay.
And, it's an interesting show.
Yeah.
Tenkai Knights, Ben 10 Omni Universe. Pokemon the series XY.
Wow, two series you can't kill. Ben 10 and Pokemon. Mm. They just live forever.
Apparently so. Uncle Grandpa. It must be a Tennessee show.
You would think.
Or West Virginia.
I keep seeing the ads for it, and I haven't yet been able to, you know, catch it myself, but it does look pretty funny.
Garage Band. Regular Show. Nice. Johnny Test and Steven Universe.
Ah, Steven Universe. That's another one, good one, too. Yeah, they, man, I do watch a lot of Cartoon Network. Anytime I can get my son to not watch Sprout and watch Cartoon Network, I do it. So that saves my sanity.
My daughter's stuck on a Nick Jr. kick and Peppa Pig.
Ah. Ugh.
So
we lost Nick Jr. To the cable guy. They switched packages on us, so I don't have to endure the Nick Jr. Which actually there was a lot of good programming on Nick Jr.
for kiddos.
So no commercials, that was cool too.
So yeah, like I said, they seem to be focusing on Arrow, Constantine, Flash, and speaking of Flash.
Oh, well, I would say one more thing about the animated stuff. Did you see the announcement that they are going to release the Green Lantern animated series out on Blu-ray?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I guess you can go ahead and pre-order it, I think, on Amazon, but it looks like March 18th.
Okay. They're going
to release the entire series on one Blu-ray release. So
that'd be worth it.
Yeah, no, I think there's like, I want to say 26 episodes maybe total. I think it was like 2 13s.
Yeah, it was 2 13s.
They ran. Yeah, so that'd be a cool little collection to have. It's a good series.
Yeah, the first half I really enjoyed, the Red Lantern War. Mm-hmm. Second half was all right.
Yeah.
But I need to get caught up on Young Justice as well. I'm getting nervous. I hope they do keep it a secret in that they are releasing it in September.
On disc or back on show?
Back on the air. Put it back
on
the air.
I just think at this point it's too little too late. Like it'll have been like 2 years, and I think the people that were working on it will have already found some other work. So
right.
I think that's dead.
So what'd you think of the Flash costume picks?
Yeah,
I mean, we were teased a couple of weeks ago with just the hood or the head cowl.
Right.
Then we got teased with the actual stage photo.
Right.
Which made the costume look great. Then you see the production shots and you're like, where'd it go?
And they go like from like awesome to like, okay, that can work, to like, what happened to the awesome? You know, as more photos are coming out.
Now, I don't mind the mix of leather and whatever this other material is. I mean, I get it. It's taking a motorcycle approach to it. I just think some of the accent could be a little bolder. And it's not.
I think my initial reaction was I thought that they did a fantastic job with the cowl. I thought that
was amazing.
I mean, even in all three of the pictures that they released, I thought the cowl was top notch. I even almost thought about tweeting out like saying, Hey, Marvel, this is how you do a Captain America call, because it's taken you 3 tries and you still haven't quite gotten it yet.
Right.
You know, a Captain America call just looks odd for some reason, and I can't really place what it is. But for the Flash, I thought, nailed it. As far as the rest of the costume goes, I mean, I think I still need to see a few more pics. Maybe you just got a bad picture.
I don't mind the costume. But I was kind of hoping they might have given it more, with the current materials they have, a little bit more of a New 52 flair to it.
Because
It seems like that it's inspired a little bit by the New 52, and maybe New 52 regime styling, but it just kind of falls short.
And also, it looks like they want to really play up the shadows still, like the Arrow or the Batman kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a dark colored red, and like even like the yellow that's on his costume from the lightning bolt is still kind of a dark or kind of a toned down thing.
Yeah, it's like a dirty yellow.
Yeah, so it almost seems like they want him to still participate in the night with all these other heroes, and that's all he's not really going to be a daywalker at all. He's going
right.
to right. runner, I guess, in Flash's case. So. You know, is it the worst costume we've ever seen that get released?
No.
Yeah,
no.
It's not a Wonder Woman costume. It's not Captain America's first cowl.
I didn't mind the Wonder Woman costume from the unaired pilot. I mean, she wore the traditional costume near the end of the series.
Yeah.
But in the beginning part, or in the end of the series, in the end of the episode, she wore the more traditional, what we know her for. But in the beginning, I mean, I kind of see where people thought it was jeans, but it wasn't quite jeans.
She was fine as long as she like stood still, but as soon as she moved, it just looked hokey. That was a problem with the Wonder Woman costume to me. So like the Flash one, maybe that's what they were going with. I mean, that was their thought process, was saying, hey, this guy has to run, so maybe they're trying to model it more after track suits, to where they're kind of flexible to a degree, and you know, that's maybe how they got this costume. Their line of thinking.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's weird, like how the last Flash TV show, the one from the 90s.
With all the foam latex.
Yeah, where. Isn't it weird, though, that was, you know, granted, that was over the top because with the foam, they kind of built in some muscles into the suit and stuff. But that was actually, I mean, for a costume 20, 25 years ago, that's still a pretty decent costume for a TV show.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say? Yeah. I think...
I agree. I mean, that was a movie-quality costume.
Yeah. The cowl on it, I always thought was a little weird, like a little too big. But the rest of the costume, I thought, worked.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird that we, 25 years later, that, you know, that costume is almost better than the one that we're kind of seeing now in some degrees.
Yeah.
But would you like to see the fake foam muscles come back?
No. I just wanted to see, again, I don't mind the leather or whatever look it is that they got going. I just want to see more accent. I mean, you kind of get the feel, okay, it's New 52-ish type costume. Let's give it more of that feel. Let's give it that feel.
Yeah.
Well, if you take each seam section where the two different fabrics come together, and make that a little bolder yellow, not just thin pinstripe. Give it a little bit more beef to it. Yeah. I think it'd be okay.
You could almost, I'm surprised they haven't almost gone with a route of, you know, we saw plenty of the Winter Olympics recently. What about, you know, a suit, one of those speed suits that like a speed skater wears, where it's like, you know, it's right up against their flesh, which, you know, that's for aerodynamics, which the Flash needs. It covers up, you know, most of them even have, like, the the hood that kind of comes up over their head, the hood, just their face. So I mean that in a way almost seems like the better route to go than the costume that they've got, because his almost looks like in some parts it's kind of baggy too. So I'm not a costume designer, so maybe that just looks silly, or they're worried about too much bulge hanging out on primetime TV. But
well, then why don't we head over to Gotham then?
There's no bulge there. What?
The show is supposedly going to carry through what the. It takes place right after, or right at the time of the Wayne murders.
That's what it appears. I think that then they cast the
younger Bruce Wayne, like
he's what,
teenage,
11 or something like that.
Yeah,
or not even that.
Well, and the murder is going to be an over arc for a good part of the series in the beginning.
I can see that being the pilot. You know, that's how they open it up with here's this world, here's this tragic event everyone knows. But did you know that after, you know, the days that were after that, before the bat, but after the murder?
Yeah,
so, you know, it's a good time period in there.
And of course, we already know Catwoman and Penguin have been cast, but they're also going to have Two-Face.
I know Catwoman.
And my favorite, Riddler.
Well, I know Catwoman is just going to be Selina Kyle, and I think the same age as Bruce, if I'm not mistaken.
She's older.
I thought I'd heard that she was going to be, you know, like a schoolmate or something like that, like same age as Bruce. But I've only read just little bits and pieces here and there.
I thought she was a little older. Which changes that dynamic for later, but who knows? Maybe Catwoman's a cougar. Wow.
She is a cat.
I just think it's interesting how the murders are going to be kind of, besides the regular each episode story arc, it's going to be that thread that feeds off and on throughout the series, you know, part of the series.
Yeah.
In the beginning is the murders and how you deal with Wayne.
Right.
I'm glad to see, you know, when they go with the Rogues Gallery, you know, Catwoman, Penguin, Two-Face, Joker, that they do include Riddler as well. I'm a Riddler fan. He's my favorite out of the Rogues Gallery. Joker, he's just overdone. I mean, at this point
he's
in time.
He's such a great actor.
He is. But it's, I mean, he's so twisted and everything else. I mean, he's overexposed. Overexposed.
After the Batman movies, you see him kind of everywhere. But one of the reasons I like the Joker as a Batman arch nemesis is the fact that he's not like the anti version of Batman. He's not like, you know, Flash has the Reverse Flash or Superman has Bizarro. He's not like the exact carbon copy, just evil. He's just a, you know, a villain that gets the best of Batman every time.
Yeah. But I'm glad to see Riddler, that they're not going to leave Riddler out. So, and I think that's where, depending on how they go with it, it could be really fun with Riddler.
I'm curious to see what they do, like, you know, how much they're going to do with the villains in that whole mythos, because, you know, it's kind of like the Smallville thing. It's like you can't go too far because these characters aren't there yet, but you also still have to do something interesting for the audience you do have right then. So it's like I could see them doing with Cobblepot with Penguin. You know, he's basically a kingpin. He's a mob boss or something like that.
Right.
And so he hasn't fully become like the character of the thing. He could, I guess, he could go by the name of Penguin if he wanted to.
Well, Two-Face gets changed up slightly, because I thought he was supposed to be childhood friends with Bruce.
There, Yeah, they're usually cast or seen as like being the same age. So maybe you just get Harvey Dent, you know, and see him becoming the aspiring, you know, lawyer, district attorney kind of stuff, like trying to do that.
Yeah, but this implies But this implies too that it's going to be actual Two-Face.
It's true. Yeah, you can, so it's, I mean, it'll, you can actually see where, you know, the psychological damage that will become Two-Face. You could start seeing the signs of that, like, you know, was it a father that, you know, beat him or something like, you know, something like that, that traumatized him and caused these repressions.
Right. Well, causing reactions everywhere, Bryan Cranston was told he was never offered Lex Luthor, but would have taken it. Does that put a new perspective on Eisenberg being cast as Luthor?
Yeah, that seems to be their guy. You know, if they didn't even approach Cranston, then that wasn't the vision that they had. That's my logic in that, because if you have the opportunity to get an award-winning actor to be part of your movies and you don't take it, I mean, think of how many trailers you've sat through where it's been like, you know, Academy Award nominated, and it's like, you know, one after the other. That's a remarkable thing. So if you pass that up, then to go with a younger actor, then I guess that wasn't the vision you had.
Well, is that gonna now, would the new series or Man of Steel 2, whatever, would have been able to handle Ben Affleck, Bryan Cranston, the rumored, what was it, Jeremy Irons or John Malkovich as Alfred?
You're
starting to hit larger name people into this. I mean, is it getting too crowded there?
Wasn't that the same worry for Avengers? Like having all, I mean, granted, a couple of them, like you could say that Chris Evans was kind of known, but like Hemsworth was an unknown. But like the other three main guys, those were, you know, names that people recognized. Then you have Nick Fury and, you know, with Samuel L. Jackson. So there's a lot of well-known people that were in the Avengers movies, and there was, you know, never an issue of like people getting enough screen time. Granted, you also had some master craftsman storytellers to deliver that and do it successfully. Not sure if we got that yet with Batman and Superman.
No, I have little faith with Zack Snyder. I have not been a heavy fan of his. I mean, he's done some movies I've enjoyed. But you know, his stuff on 300 and the in the second film, he's just following the model of the book for the most part.
Right.
Now, I know you had pointed out pre-show the new Batman game.
Oh, yes. Yes. Have you seen any of the trailers or anything for it?
No, I haven't not yet.
I mean, it looks gorgeous. Mostly because apparently it's only going to be on Xbox One and PS4. It's not going to be on the older gen systems. It's going to be the last of the series for Rocksteady and this whole Batman Arkham storyline stuff. So it's going to be the last of them.
It's also going to be available on Windows PC.
Windows, that's right, yeah. So it's only the newer stuff. But first of all, I mean, you can tell in the trailer that the cutscenes look just gorgeous. I was like, yeah, I guess you can't really pull that off on a 360. but the cool new feature that they're doing, you can drive the Batmobile.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, which, you know, because you gotta think, like, I actually haven't played Origins yet. I just haven't got around to it. I haven't found the right price for my taste. But I did play the crap out of Asylum and City. And one of the things I heard, you know, Asylum was very closed in. You were inside the Asylum, so there wasn't a whole lot of doing extras you could do. when you got to city, you could fly like anywhere with
it was just very open door.
Yeah, huge. And some friends of mine, they actually do a video podcast or an audio podcast. It's called Video Game Book Club, and they reviewed Arkham Origins, and they said it's like, yeah, that's cool that you could do that again in this one, but there wasn't that extra feature to like really kind of make this game unique from the previous one. Right. And so I think that's why they went and did the Batmobile to kind of give you that extra feature, that extra, like, this is awesome. I wish we could have done this since the first one.
I forgot which, I had the Arkham one available for the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how you were able to change the costume. And I went with the classic, you know, the blue cowl and gray.
Right. I mean,
that if I'm gonna play a Batman, that's the Batman I want.
that was a cool part. Yeah, you can unlock a whole bunch of different skins they had that you could play. You can play the animated version. You can play the Dark Knight Returns version. That was a pretty cool feat. They've done a fantastic job with the games that I have played. I'll be getting Origins here probably pretty soon. Just because I gotta play it, but yeah, no. Yeah, I think it's coming out this fall, probably around Christmas time. Batman Arkham Knight is the game, but I also didn't announce if it was going to be like a sequel to Origins or if it's going to take place after Arkham City. My guess from like reading the storylines was it may take place after Arkham City.
Okay,
and because it sounded like it could be the not to give a spoiler away, but there's a major death that happens at the end of City, and I think some of the characters are going to be reacting to that, is what it sounds like. Gotcha. In this next game.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I've got the first two on Steam.
Mm.
I've just never played them. so it tells you how
so worth it, but I mean, you can the crazy thing about it is there's so many like side missions, especially in City, that you'll get more game time out of the side missions than you will actually the story itself.
Very cool.
But yeah, they're very fun. Definitely addictive for a Batman fan out there.
Very cool.
If last year was big, this year is mega. MegaCon 2014. Sci-fi, comic books, and anime at the largest convention in the South. Featuring special guests Stan Lee, Torchwood's John Barrowman, and Ron Perlman. Meet David Morrissey, Emily Kenney, and the cast from Walking Dead. Comic book creators, costume contests, and more. MegaCon 2014. March 21st through 23rd at the Orange County Convention Center. Get discounted tickets early at megaconvention.com.
So Terry Crews has come out and said, and I'm paraphrasing, I heard it is greenlit, but I haven't gotten any calls. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Expendables 3.
No.
Oh, so hoping the guys would all come back and ruin my 80s childhood again.
He's talking about Luke Cage.
Ah!
Which is someone I've said for a while now needs to be Luke Cage. he supposedly heard comments he was too old. It's like, are you kidding me? He might be older, but he's still in great shape and can do just about anything you need him to do.
I think my theory on Terry is that he does like the hyper chamber sleep or something like that, because he actually doesn't look like he has aged in the last 20 years. He really looks fantastic for, I think he's probably about a 60-year-old man. He looks like he's still in his 40s easily. And he's still built like a brick house too.
I think he could go back and make it in the NFLs if he wanted to. Free agent.
I don't know. That's a young man's game right there. But I don't know.
We're talking like Terry Crews here, though.
But, you know, the only knock I'd have against Terry is, I guess it depends on what the script and the director are looking for.
Right.
Like, I don't if they're looking to do sort of tongue-in-cheek Iron Man-ish kind of stuff, I'm not sure if that's really his forte. But if they're going with, because I've never really seen him in too many dramatic roles. He's usually action, or he's usually like a comedy kind of guy.
Right.
And so I don't know, you know, just depends on what the script is looking for. I don't know how he can do, maybe if they're trying to be more dramatic.
Right. I think he could pull off a dramatic role. I want to say he's done one or two. I'm not sure. But with Luke Cage, if it's more action, I think the dramatic will come natural.
I think I'm actually just wanting to see more, like a more youthful Luke Cage, to be honest. And that's just mostly because, you know, the origin of Luke, as I've come to, you know, accept it as, is he's like a guy that came up from the streets, from like, you know, just barely making it in life kind of deal. And like, and right about the time when he's at that influential age of like, well, should I follow and, you know, do the gang thing or do the family thing or do, you know, what is my turning point in my life? That's when he kind of develops and gets these powers.
Right.
And it kind of becomes a game changer for him. And he still has to make those decisions, but he's got, you know, he's got the power to back it up now.
Well, Terry Crews is only a year older than me. He's 45.
Oh, really? Is he really?
Yeah.
He might turn
46 this year. See, I'll be 44 this year.
I really, for some reason, thought he was much older than that. I guess because he starred with all those guys from Expendables, maybe I just thought he was the same age as those guys.
I think he could pull it off, believe it or not. I pushed for him in the beginning. I think when we did one of these fantasy casting deals, I thought he would be ideal then. Yeah, bring him on. let him have at it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Is Luke Cage, that is one of the ones that Marvel's developing with Netflix, right?
Yes. Daredevil, Luke Cage, was it Iron Fist? And was it Jessica?
Oh, Jessica Drew.
Jessica Stone?
The one that, I'm going to kick myself later because I'll remember it as soon as the podcast is over. Jessica Drew is Spider-Woman, and it's not that. Right. I think it's the series Alias off of. Not the TV show with Jennifer Garner, but
it's the one, whoever the female is, that makes up the fourth in the Defenders. Because eventually they will all do a Defenders series together.
Right.
So, but Spider-Man wise, there was a featurette that came out about Gwen Stacy.
Okay.
And the featurette kind of focused on their relationship, how she loves him, but you know, he's so devoted to being a hero that's almost taking more time than their relationship. And she said, I'm not going to wait around. And yeah, the world needs you, but I'm not going to wait around. So do we potentially see her get the old neck snap?
It's possible. I think that's more setting up, you know, it's the great Spider-Man dilemma of like, you know, he can never possibly have the girl and the job and the school and, you know, or the, you know, the reputation at school and Spider-Man acclaim. Like, you know, if one of those things is going well, then the other things are all falling by the wayside. You know, Aunt May, he'll forget to pick up some milk for Aunt May because he, you know, was beating up Hobgoblin or something. You know, so there's always that whole constant drama for Spider-Man. So I think that's just maybe relaying or, you know, playing into that whole aspect of it.
Gotcha. South by Southwest, Marvel made a big announcement there.
Yeah.
So why don't you take that one?
Yeah, it seems like that they're going to start doing these little short documentary films, which sounds pretty cool. And it's not going to be just per se on exclusively, I guess, Marvel-related hot current items. Because that was my idea. I was like, oh, you're going to make a documentary on, you know, Infinity just because it just came out to help sell more books. It's actually going to be kind of more a retrospect deal. Like, the first one's going to be based on the Civil War crossover that happened in the Marvel Comics back in, like, 2008, where it's, like, hero versus hero, Captain America versus Iron Man, all that good stuff.
Now, this is all for the 75th anniversary, right?
It's kind of tied into that a little bit, but, yeah, I think somebody probably just realized that they've got such a plethora of history that's not maybe possibly really known that well, so this is a good way for them to kind of dig into that and let a filmmaker kind of get behind it. But it sounded like a cool. It didn't say like how short a film, like it's going to be like an hour long each. Didn't really get into like how these are going to be released, but they did give it a name. It's going to be called Marvel's Tales to Astonish. But yeah, it's just kind of like a, you know, do it in typical documentary style form. And, you know, see how people react to it by giving views from people that helped create it, that may have been involved with it, around it, something of those nature. I think later on, they were also talking about some future ones with, like, you know, possibly doing one around the death of Captain Marvel from, like, graphic novel from 82. Like how, you know, death in comics and how, you know, for most characters it doesn't stick. How art, what is art, is comic books or comic book art created to make the comic book, is that art in itself and thing, you know, so they've got different topics. It's not just going to be revolving around like a recap, sort of movie. It's going to have different topics and different themes to it. So think of it as like the 30 for 30 for the comic book nerd.
That'd be great. Actually, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Or the E60, call it M60.
They could.
Or even to tie into the fact, I mean, if this isn't going to air on TV, go air online or on Netflix, just go M75.
Yeah, they could.
Tie in the 75th anniversary.
They're going with the Tales to Astonish, just kind of, I guess that way they're not locked into any kind of event or themselves with the show. But yeah, it sounds good. I'm not sure if it's all going to be direct to DVD. That's what it's kind of sounding like, direct to DVD and digital download. But, I think it's, I'm interested to see what they got.
Cool.
So is this live?
Sorry, that was a great drop from last week. That never made it to air. It was all pre-show.
So is this live?
The Big Bang Theory. TV history made. Was it first modern scripted show to be offered 3 seasons for renewal? Making it a total run at the end of 2017 of 10 seasons.
That's a pretty astounding thing in this day and age where, you know, shows are really just shooting for that fifth season. It's like, as long as I get the 5 seasons, I can get syndication. And then after that, who cares what happens? And so for a show to get syndication, still, you know, and then 2 years later, still be one of the dominant comedies that see in CBS's lineup. I mean, that's huge. I mean, usually by the time you get to the 7th season, people are like, well, you know, how much farther can they really go? Yeah,
it was a lot of times it's, they want the 5th season. Once they hit the 5th season, they want the 200th episode. Then shortly after that,
100 episode for syndication.
Yeah.
So, which usually happens around the 5th season.
And then usually after that, they want to get close to 200.
Yeah, 200's not bad, because then you're really building up a backlist of, so you don't burn out too quickly in syndication. Right. But yeah, 10 seasons. I mean, really, I mean, just getting 3 years extra is remarkable. Usually it's like 1 to 2 at this point in TV land. So, you know, CBS is happy. And I know some Big Bang stars that are going to be happy too, that they got some paychecks locked down.
Well, and for a lot of shows the last few years, it's, you're lucky if you get, through the first season.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I mean, that's TV anytime.
That's most of our news.
I think so. I think
I know the only other topic I wanted to bring up is next week's Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Is the episode that's got the Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of speculation because they show in the trailer. Now, they've put out some promo shots. And, you know, you've got Bronze Tiger, you've got Deadshot, you've got Diggle, who is Oliver's right-hand man, so to speak, on in the series. You know, it's a character made up for the series. You see the head, the female who created Suicide Squad, the government rep. But in the trailer, you see this blonde female wearing quite familiar pigtails. But you don't see a face. Could it be Harley Quinn's coming to Suicide Squad?
I would, you know, just for marketing standpoints, you almost kind of hope they do that, because you tell people that haven't seen Arrow, hey, Suicide Squad's going to be on, and you're probably only going to get like a couple people like, oh, that's cool, I think I'll have to check it out. No dish on Suicide Squad. I think their comic right now is one of the better ones out there. I enjoy reading it, but it's not that huge. You add in Harley Quinn, as you're hinting around that. If you add in Harley Quinn to the show, all of a sudden you've got people that are going to be interested in watching that show and then going back and getting caught up, because Harley Quinn has a following. If you go to any convention right now, you're going to find at least 6 to 7 Harley Quinns in a room at the same time. It's just amazing how much cosplay Harley Quinn gets and how much fan service she gets, too.
And you're going to find them in probably 2 in the same costume, and you're going to see out of the 6, 3 different costumes.
Yeah.
three different variations.
Yeah. Not so much. Most of them haven't changed over to the new 52 version. But, you know, the still the classic one is very, very much.
Well, you see some that go with the Arkham game costume.
Yeah, a little bit more of that. I don't think they've been sold so much on the new 52 version.
I saw one that was a variation of, it was Harley Quinn meets Assassin's Creed. That was super, super, super cool.
Interesting. I think if they do it, that would be actually smart on their part. Just throw in the Harley and see if your numbers can go up a little bit more.
Right. And I would say before we go, check out a show. They're a local show to the Orlando area. I know a couple of the guys are from the Orlando area. It's a show called Podcast for Sci-Fi. They're very similar to us, Geek News. They put their perspective into it as well. Definitely worth the listen, because it's all part of the geek revolution, as we talk about. You know, we tout ourselves as the official voice of the geek revolution because no one else has. So we're going to lay that claim to fame. Give these guys a listen. I mean, they're worth checking out. You'll be entertained. And they cover a little bit more gaming news than we do. And we'll try and improve on that. So, other than that,
I was gonna say you got big plans coming up next weekend, don't you? You'll be at big old MegaCon, won't you?
MegaCon. You heard the teaser for it earlier. Ron Perlman has pulled out of the show. Last minute. Aaron Ashmore is no longer coming. But they did announce the guy who plays Slade in Slade Wilson in Arrow will be there. And, of course, he was in The Hobbit. So he'll be there. But, yeah, like I said last week, take a look at MegaCon's guest list. It's at www.megaconvention.com. Check out the guest list. Email us at show@weebiegeeks.net or give us a call at 321-219-8227 and let us know who you might want me to try and interview at the show. I will do the best I can. Because sometimes some of these people are just untouchable, I guess is the best way to put it. Now, if you're not there to shell out money for an autograph or a picture, you can't get close to them. But I'll give it my best go. And then same thing with C2E2. Take a look at the guest list there and see who you want Marty to try and grab. Email us. Don't be afraid. We're not gonna bite. We're not gonna automatically enlist you into the ranks of the geek army for the revolution.
No, but I will sell your email to the highest bidder. So come on. No, I'm just kidding.
So is this live?
You can edit that part out, right?
Huh? What?
Go.
So I guess until next time, thank you for being part of the show listening to the show where we're not afraid of Terminators wearing pink star-shaped sunglasses. And on that note,
give the evacuation code signal.
I will bring you back a snowball.
Self-destruct in 20 seconds. This is your last chance to push the cancellation button.
It's over, Prime. Adventure. Excitement. Why, oh, why did I pick the blue pill?
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it.
Hold it. Hold it. I said hold it.
By the way, why are we wearing bras on our heads?
Ceremonial.
Clark, I don't like the look of this neighborhood.
Come on, Ellen. It's important for the kids to witness the plight of the rebellion. Kids, you noticing all this plight? Roll them up.
We Be Geeks, your voice of the geek revolution.
This has been a We Be Geeks production.
And that's it.
Cool.
Oh, come on, stop, damn it.
Listen to WDW Tiki Room, the show about all things Disney. Fridays, 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on Sorcerer Radio. I'm Kristen.
I'm Al John. Join us for discussions on the Disney parks,
food news, travel deals and tips, attractions and event news, and more.
Time to do the must-do. Or should I say must-do?
Sorcerer Radio correspondent Stan Barnes has the Disney 4-in-1 pop culture news. Eric Allen has Disney video game news with bonus levels.
Natalie Henley shares ways to save money. And Mike Emke has the Disney Geek Report on Marvel and Star Wars.
Leave your show comments, requests, and discussion topics on our new voicemail. Call 850-888-TIKI. That's 850-888-8454.
You can also post your questions, comments via Twitter and Facebook, WDW Tiki Room.
WDW Tiki Room, the show about all things Disney. Fridays at 8 a.m., 5 Pacific, with an encore presentation, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific.
On Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
Welcome to
the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next.
Hot dog!
Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television, film, and comic book news? Are you looking for some suggestions on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Ken every Saturday night at 8 p.m. on Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio, your source for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks, assemble!
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Introducing Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
Rebel Force Radio.
You are on the front lines of fandom by listening to this show.
Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank usher in a new era of Star Wars podcasting.
Rebel Force Radio.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Stay tuned for special announcements about the Rebel Force Radio official webpage.
Leaving no Star Wars fan behind.
Rebel Force Radio. Your new source for the Force.